Welcome to the With Clarity and Purpose podcast with your host, Janet Borrego. Each week, I bring you an inspiring person or message to empower you to live life on your terms so you can be who you want to be, do what you are meant to do, and have the life you deserve to have. We will provide you with practical and cutting-edge approaches to continue getting clarity and direction on your path, mastering your mindset, and gaining confidence to tap into your inner wisdom so you can live on purpose. Welcome to another episode of With Clarity and Purpose podcast. And today's episode is all about reclaiming your power. It's all about fostering a sense of belonging from within. Let me tell you, I've worked with many, many high achieving women, and I would say almost all of them struggle with feeling that they don't belong. Struggle with finding sometimes that connection between the external world and the internal world. And many times this manifests as the imposter syndrome. Many times this manifests as overperforming and overdoing and overpleasing to the point of burnout. And I saw this in corporate for many women that I mentored and coached when I was there. And I see this now as an entrepreneur, and I've gone through it myself. So I think it's such an important topic to tackle and to talk more about, because I truly believe that my perspective is one that is not shared often. I mean, not from me, but a lot of people don't necessarily express this perspective, because sometimes may be one of those unpopular opinions. But I'm here with you to make sure I add value to you, to make sure that whatever I bring you through these podcast episodes is gonna up-level you and it's gonna empower you to the next level. I was preparing for this podcast episode and I was looking at statistics, and a recent EY survey, EY is a consulting company, they found that more than 40% of US respondents, I mean the people who answered the survey, reported feeling physically and emotionally isolated in the workplace. This includes men and women. But based on my perspective, on a lot of studies I've read, including one from Accenture, actually, women struggle a lot more with this. So I think it's important that we talk about it. These percentages is based on the workplace. But again, even in entrepreneurship, it's a very lonely journey to take on at the beginning, in the middle, at the end. It can be very lonely because you're creating and crafting your own path. And I think this is something that I experienced earlier on in my entrepreneurship journey. And all of the concepts and strategies I'm going to teach you today so you can implement, these are things that I continue applying every single day. These are things that remind me and humble me down to go back to the foundation, to go back to the basis. And whenever you foster this sense of belonging within you, and you're not relying 100% on the external environment to provide you that fulfillment, that grounding, that belonging, then you start truly creating an empowered path different than the history that you have repeated in the past. And we are here to also transition from being in survival mode to being creators of our own reality. Many times in these situations, you may feel hopeless. You may feel powerless. You may feel that compared to the outside environment, you don't have a choice. Compared to the outside environment, you don't have any power of decision. But I'm here to remind you of your true power, because it doesn't matter what the circumstance is. You always, and listen at this, you always have a choice. Whenever we forget that we always have a choice, it doesn't matter what it is, that's when we fall into this pattern of powerlessness. Again, a lot of people, men and women, but mainly women, struggle with feeling not connected, struggle with feeling that they don't belong, that they are not enough. And I remember this happened to me very intensely and very consistently. I mean, right now it happens, but in waves. It happens when something is going on in my life, but not consistently. But let me tell you, there was a moment in time where I felt consistently like I didn't belong. And this was whenever I started working in corporate as a chemical engineer. And even though I had every success factor that everyone told me to pursue, I felt completely disconnected from myself and disconnected from the environment that I was in. And I remember at the beginning of this journey of not knowing what is going on, because for the last 5 years and a half of school, for the last 5 years and a half of internships and getting good grades and following this success checklist, I had a vision of accomplishing what at that moment I had finished to accomplish. And in that moment, I thought, this is it. I'm going to feel amazing. I have the rest of my life figured out. In that moment where I got to the mountaintop, I looked around and I realized that I had a blank canvas. And I realized that I didn't know myself, but I didn't know this at that time. What I remember feeling was, I don't belong here. I don't feel one with the people that I work with. I feel excluded. I feel unfulfilled. I feel empty. And this happened within the first few months. And I started just asking myself, but why? You know, why is this happening to me? And there were a series of events, and I shared this in a couple of my podcast episodes and interviews. They were a series of events where I kept tolerating that internal pain and I kept ignoring that inner voice, and I ended up having a panic attack because I was in full burnout mode. Like, I was burning out completely. And not only that, whatever I was doing as a chemical engineer, wherever I was not aligned with my values, but I didn't know what my values were until that panic attack triggered me prioritizing myself. And what that panic attack taught me also was to stop relying on my external environment to give me that sense of fulfillment. Don't get me wrong, your environment can create a positive influence in you. But when you let yourself be fully controlled by your environment, then you're giving up your power because you are way more powerful than that. And at that moment, I remember thinking, well, I just finished my chemical engineering degree. I just started this new job. I'm a new hire. I am from University of Puerto Rico, a university that is not very well known. I have an accent. I'm very different than the people around here. I mean, these people are coming from MIT, Georgia Tech. I just felt like a fish out of water, right? I just remember thinking when I had this panic attack, I just have to go inside of me and stop relying on all of these people to make me feel good. And I have to reclaim my power and go back and really foster and create that sense of belonging. Create that sense of I'm equal. Create that sense like I'm as important as everyone else and I have as much value. It doesn't matter where I come from, as much value to give to the world as anyone else. And this panic attack really forced me to look inward and stop relying on my boss, on my coworkers. Because to be honest with you, when I looked around me, everyone else was unhappy. Everyone else was tolerating their lives. Everyone else was complaining. And not many people were doing much about it. I understand that this is a challenging situation. I'm not blaming anyone. But to me, in that case, I had to reach that rock bottom, that crisis, for me to finally wake up and realize that the power was never outside of me. The power was always within me. I just had forgotten. And honestly, I had never learned until that moment how to connect with the creator within myself. I thought that I was the victim of that environment, of that circumstance, of the choices from the past. And my wish for you and for all my coaching clients, and I have many coaching clients that struggle with it. I've struggled with this myself. My wish for you is to never, ever let yourself be victimized by anything or anyone, that you always truly remember that you have a choice and that you are a creator of your reality, and that you always have a different way to look at things or a different way to decide. And when I started going through this introspection and this process of really getting to know myself, of really defining my values, of really fostering this belief system, these emotions that were backing up that sense of belonging, that I didn't need to wait for anyone else to tell me great job or give me great feedback or tell me, Janet, do you need a day off or anything like that, really. When I started tapping into that power, that's when things started changing. And I'm telling you this because so many times we put a lot of power into the external, into the system, into the coworker, into the boss. And let me tell you, I've had some challenging bosses. I've had some challenging everything, even in entrepreneurship, people that I've worked with, I mean, everything. And in those moments, I go subconsciously sometimes to victim mode. And through that moment, I realize that I'm suffering and that I gotta remind myself who is the creator of this reality, myself. I always have a choice. Now, the most aligned choices are the hardest ones to take. There is a process of also having courage to make decisions that align with your values and align with your intentions are and that are in integrity within yourself. I would say that's your life's work, to operate in integrity with yourself. That's the hardest piece, because sometimes we have many subconscious self-sabotaging patterns to people please, to want to be accepted. But how can we be accepted by the external world if we don't accept ourselves? And whenever I was feeling that way, I wasn't showing up as equal in the rooms. I wasn't showing up like I belong in the rooms. I wasn't speaking up in some meetings because I thought my accent disqualified me. I needed to truly work on my internal world. And when I did that, the external world started aligning with who I was. When I did that, I started seeing a different reality that I was surrounded by. I started seeing aligned opportunities everywhere. And this is very important because as a coach, I specialize on subconscious programming, because honestly, 95% of who you are is subconscious. It's a memorized set of behaviors, beliefs, feelings that you have been repeating over and over. And in order to create different results, you gotta hijack that subconscious programming for you to align to the identity that you want to align and for you to start creating results. And the subconscious is very important because the subconscious mind is your goal getter. You set a goal consciously. I want to go there. I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to create six figures in my business. I want to finally speak up and set boundaries. Those are conscious desires. Like, you really want it. There is an intention, but you end up self-sabotaging yourself. Why? Because subconsciously you don't believe that you're capable of that. Subconsciously, you don't feel that you are enough. Subconsciously, you don't feel accepted within yourself or even worthy of being loved. So that's why it's so important to align your subconscious programming with your conscious desires, because whatever you're focusing on subconsciously that sometimes you don't even know because they are blind spots, you start experiencing. What if you are like, I don't belong, I don't belong, I don't belong, and you feel consistently that way? Believe me, your mind is a mega computer. You're going to find the evidence that that belief is true. Even if the opposite evidence is in front of you, you are not gonna see it. I always give this example around finding your car keys. Have you ever been in a rush and you want to leave home and you're in a rush and you're like, oh my God, I'm late. And you keep asking yourself, where are my car keys? And you look in your purse, you look in front of you, where are my car keys? They are not there, I cannot find them. You keep feeding yourself, I can't find them. I can't find them. They are not there. and you don't find them until someone else points out that they were in your purse or in front of you at all times, or you even realize the keys were in front of you at all times and you didn't see them because you were feeding your subconscious mind that you couldn't find them. And therefore, your subconscious mind deleted the information in front of you. I show a powerful video to all of my coaching clients illustrating this concept, and they are always in awe of how their subconscious mind can delete or distort information in order to back up your belief system. It's just, I mean, you have the most powerful computer within you, but this computer needs programming, right? The most powerful computer within you is the subconscious mind. But it needs to be programmed in order for you to get the desired results. And that's what I love. That's what I've studied, because I realize that a lot of the coaching and a lot of the mentorship is highly conscious. Hey, if you want to lose weight, why you don't lose it, right? It's not as easy as that. There is a bigger component within you that takes 95% of everything that happens in your internal world. That is your subconscious mind that also needs to align to that goal and that result. And I do a lot of that with several modalities, actually, neurolinguistic programming. I use meditation, I use hypnosis, and it's highly effective. If this podcast episode resonates with you, I invite you to work with me in my private one-on-one coaching. Private one-on-one coaching is a 6-month container where I help you go from playing small, not believing in yourself, struggling with imposter syndrome, inconsistency, and indecisiveness, to actually having the clarity, the confidence, and the courage to follow through with your dreams. When you work with me as a private client, the first thing we do is that I guide you through an in-depth breakthrough session, where we get very clear on all of the blind spots that have been preventing you from achieving your goals. We become aware of those and we release them at the subconscious level with proven techniques. I provide you with accountability, and I'm like a GPS for you to actually find the resources and the answers that are already within you, because you, my friend, are powerful. Kim, one of my coaching clients, said, through working with Janet, I've been able to radically shift my mindset in a way I never thought was possible. Each day I wake up feeling excited about my future and actually believing in my potential. So if you're ready to believe in your potential and take action and see progress with all of your dreams and goals you have been delaying, this is your time. I invite you to schedule a clarity call in the link in the show notes. I cannot wait to meet you. See you soon. Again, going back to the story, whenever I started doing this inner work that takes to actually get to the point where you want to feel like you belong, that's when my external world felt totally different and felt very supportive. It is Women's History Month. On March 8th was Women's International Day, which I think it's so powerful, right? And I posted something in social media and I wanted to share part of it with you because it goes very much related to this concept of do not wait for the environment to change in order for you to make a shift that you know is aligned with you. Do not wait for the environment to change in order for you to show up as equal or show up as you belong. Do not give that power away from the environment, to the environment. Whenever you actually put that power back in you, by the way, empowerment comes, it relates to that. Whenever you reclaim that power, that's the only time when you start changing your environment, not the opposite way. Sometimes we want the environment to change so we feel happy and we feel good and we feel supported and a sense of belonging. And if you don't work all of those things within you, you may be in the most supportive environment and you still may not feel like that. That is why it's so important to do the inner work. And I say that this is an unpopular opinion because let me tell you, it's very easy to blame your environment. It's very easy to victimize yourself, because I've done it. It's very easy. But let me tell you, if you continue going through that route, And if you have done it in the past, you know what I'm talking about. You're going to create more suffering. You're going to impact your confidence, your self-worth, your self-respect tremendously because you start feeling again like you don't have any power, like you're the victim of circumstances. That's the worst place to be in. I'm going to share this with you. Okay, this is what I, initial part, which I love. I was very proud of myself. I was so creative that morning. And it's about Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks was the one that stood up whenever Black people were being excluded. She stood up and she ignited the civil rights movement. And I'm going to explain why in a second. I said in this post that I want to share with you because it's that powerful. Rosa Parks didn't wait for the system to change in order to show up as equal. She showed up as equal when she refused in a bus to give up her seat to a white man. And then the system started aligning to her level of self-respect and self-worth. Rosa Parks said, enough is enough. And whenever she said that, it ignited all the civil rights system. And then things started aligning with that sense of equality and belonging. But she, something within herself ignited first. And she started showing up that way. Just like Gandhi says, we gotta be the change we desire to see in the world. Now, let's be honest, there are not many Rosa Parks. And that's why I'm sharing this with you. Because if you're here listening to this podcast, it's all because you want to feel empowered. You want to create your own reality. You can be a Rosa Parks, not like Rosa Parks specifically, because you're your own power, but you can be that person that doesn't wait for an environment to change in order to show up in that room like you belong, to speak up in that room like you add value, like you can take up space and it's gonna be okay. And I think this is so important to share because, again, many times we don't feel like that. We question ourselves, which, by the way, questioning yourself is totally natural. And not every day we're going to feel like empowered and super powerful. But we can remind ourselves to go back to the foundation, which is this one, to go back to the basics. We can reclaim our power because life has never been a linear path and I never will be. There are many curves. There are many layers, there are many complexities, but I think if we continue applying the foundation and the basics of everything starts with yourself. Everything starts with yourself. Do not wait for anyone to tell you your potential. I remember this story. There is a coworker. I used to work for a company where once you get hired, they kind of like define your potential. They kind of say, okay, this person has the potential to be the CEO. This person has the potential to be the highest this person will go is a manager. For example, like basically you would get ranked instead of in terms of potential. They wouldn't tell it to you. It was in the system. And I remember, oh my God, I had this mentor. She was a manager too. And someone in confidentiality told her what her potential was, which by the way, she wasn't supposed to know her potential. This is something that you usually don't reveal to employee in this company. She was told what her potential was and she was so pissed and she came back to wherever I was seated and she's like, so I was told that my potential is this and let me tell you, no one gets to define my potential. And I always remember this story because it's such a simple story, but such a powerful one in the sense of no one but you gets to define your potential, how far you're going to go. And this goes back to you putting the time, the effort, the energy into doing that inner work. I shared this in LinkedIn and then later on I shared many facts related to Women History Month. For example, I shared women were not allowed to publish books under their name until 1840s, which is crazy. I mean, men had all the right to publish books, but women didn't. Many of them didn't even receive education. And one of them that always surprises people, it wasn't until 1974 that women were granted the right to have bank accounts and credit cards on their name. 1974 was yesterday. It wasn't until that day that women were granted the right to have bank accounts and credit cards under their name. No wonder why there is so much baggage on women related to not being enough. I mean, for the longest time, we have been suppressed in many ways. There have been tons of progress, and there is still a lot of progress to make. And I shared in that post next that the gender pay gap still exists. Women earn 82% of what men earn in 2022. And mothers are less likely to be hired, known in research as the motherhood penalty, but fathers are likely to earn more, known as the fatherhood bonus. And less than 20% of the world's land is owned by women. You can hear all these facts and be like, this system is messed up. Hey, I'm raising my hand. This is not fair. But you know why the system has changed? Because people like Rosa Parks exist. People who create a change within themselves, and then that change is a trickle effect, is a ripple effect to the world. And that's what I'm saying. Let's not spend more energy blaming the system, right? Because these are things that, yeah, it's going to take years. It's going to take time to change. But the biggest change, the most impactful change you can make is the one of you showing up like you deserve that money, baby. The gender pay gap still exists. Women earn 82% of what men earn in 2022. Knowing this, as a woman, negotiate more, ask for more, because yes, we are in power. Reading this, I would hate women to think like, see, that's why I don't earn enough. Yeah, of course, if you don't earn enough, go out there to the market and find a system. Negotiate with your job first, if you love it. I've known many women that they have seen salaries from men and they're like, negotiated with their jobs and they got the increase because they know it's not fair. Should that have happened in the first place? Of course not. But we as women, we gotta be the first advocates for ourselves. And if the system is not supporting you, change the company, change the system, change the clients, change the person that you're working with if you're an entrepreneur. Do not wait for the system to be fair. Do not wait for the person that you're working with to be great and fair to you. Start working on that sense of self-worth, self-respect first, and you'll see how you're going to shop differently in very powerful ways. Because awareness of these facts is important, right? I think history informs us in many ways so we don't repeat, hopefully, the past. But that past doesn't have to define our present or future. It informs it so we make wiser decisions, more empowered decisions, but we don't have to keep repeating the past over and over. So saying that, we are responsible as men, women, for healing from our generational baggage, our past history and wounds, so we can start showing up differently. As I mentioned before, I would never want any of you or my clients or anyone to be victimized by anyone or anything. You always have a choice. And the whole purpose of me being here is to remind you who you truly are so you can reclaim that power. It's because we can't enter in rooms. We can't enter in rooms where decisions are being made with the idea that we are at a disadvantage, because then we start showing up like that. If you enter a room thinking, I'm at a disadvantage, no one is going to hear me, you're going to start showing up like that. You're not going to speak up. You're not going to be authentic. We have to enter spaces and rooms like we belong and we are equal, because we are. But we got to work on that sense of belonging within ourselves first. Super important. And now, one of my mentors, when I was sharing this post with him, he's amazing. Love him so much. We met just a few months ago. But he's so good because he's so authentic and he operates in integrity within himself. And he said, there are consequences to sometimes speaking up, to sometimes being authentic, which is true. Rosa Parks' consequence was going to jail. And then there was a way more positive consequence after that, right? But here's the question for you. And of course, the consequences that we face on our day to day are not going to jail. That's the irony here, that we don't have to. Fear is going to be there, but we don't have to let that fear define who we are. Whenever I had that panic attack in my corporate job, I decided to ask, after I got clarity within myself of who I was, I decided to ask for a 2 month leave of absence. I need space because I need space for my physical health, mental health, and this is not supporting it right now. Was that courageous? Totally. Mainly in that company that was not seen as a good thing to do in your career. That was seen as a career killer. And not only that, I said, whenever I come back from leave of absence, I want to consider an organization and I want to change to that organization. Another second step that was considered a career killer for me. But you know what? At that moment, I was willing to face any consequence because I had to ask myself this question. Am I okay with the consequence of disappointing people, disappointing others, over the consequence of me losing myself? When you don't foster this sense of belonging and you don't foster this sense of authenticity and that it's safe for you to be you, you have two options. Yes, you're going to face consequences in terms of disappointing others. That's one. Or two, if you continue going the way you may be going, you're going to face the consequence of losing yourself. And I, by far, I've learned with a lot of rock bottoms and crises and a lot of painful challenges too, I've learned that the consequence of losing yourself is way worse than the consequence of disappointing others, because we can't avoid disappointing others. It's going to be okay. As long as you are doing things with a service mindset, meaning like doing things out of love, out of wanting to do the right thing, and as long as you're operating in integrity with yourself and you want to do the right thing from your heart, that's the right thing to do. That's the right choice. There is no more to question. You got to go for it. Is it scary? Yes. All aligned decisions are very scary. But you cannot face the consequence of losing yourself. I think it's so important to remind this. Just how to foster this sense of belonging. We covered a lot of this during this episode in stories, but I want to remind you of several key things. You got to listen to yourself first. You got to learn how to develop that sense of respect within yourself. And that is like listening to yourself. What is your body telling you? What is your mind, your soul telling you? What feels misaligned? That's data for you. And we want to make sure we take data-driven decisions. Your feelings are data. Do not discount them because they are not hard data or objective. I mean, reality is not objective at all. Everything is subjective, including a research. It's subjective. You can find in the internet two different researches with data and all of the good stuff that prove opposite things. It's highly subjective to the human eye too. So when you listen to yourself, ask yourself, what would you need that is within your control to feel like you belong? What information do you need from yourself to understand what you need to feel that you belong? The journey is inward. You gotta understand what is triggering that lack of sense of belonging and what is within your control that you can do right away to feel that you belong. And start being like a scientist. Start collecting data. Start learning about yourself. That's the most important project that you can have in your life, learning about yourself. The second one is focus on what you want. This sounds simple. You're like, okay, that's obvious. Cool. Thank you. But it's not as simple as it sounds. Most people are focusing on what they don't want all the time. And therefore, they keep seeing that. Just like the example I gave of, I don't find my keys. My keys are not here. And the keys were in front of you at all times. Focus on what you want. Collect data that you belong from your past experiences, from your present experience. Find evidence and stack that evidence that you belong, that you're equal, that you're enough. Repeat every day to you, I belong. I love myself. Like, just have this, create this routine for you to continue strengthening that sense of belonging within yourself. You can start showing up like that even in the environment, if the environment does not support that. That's the most empowering thing to do. The third one, and it's one that I didn't talk much about, but I think this is important. Give what you want to receive. What is within your control, create for others that environment where they can feel that they belong. Because whenever we are focusing on, I don't belong, I'm not enough, we start creating that environment that others don't belong, because everything that we are projecting mentally, emotionally, energetically is just that. And you are just focusing on what you don't want, and therefore it's draining your energy. But when you start giving what you want to receive, you start energizing yourself. You start creating that difference. You start attracting the opportunities and the people that operate at that frequency. I always tell my clients, don't believe me, practice and see what happens. Get your own data. And the last one, which is a consequence of doing this inner work, speak up your needs, your values. Speak up what you need. For most people struggling with imposter syndrome or even not feeling this sense of belonging, there is a big gap between who they think they need to be and who they truly are. I want you to lean towards your authenticity and start experimenting with speaking up. I've seen this in so many clients, and sometimes we are afraid to have a conversation with a person or to speak up or to have boundaries. And a lot of it is in our heads, because whenever they have that conversation, they realize how great it was, one, two, how it fostered a better relationship with the people around them, because the whole purpose of speaking up and boundaries is to create healthier relationships. And three, people want to be closer to them. They feel that energy and they want to be like, ooh, like I want more of that energy. It sounds counterintuitive, but it's not when you're speaking up and creating boundaries from your heart with kindness and assertiveness at the same time. Speak up when you need to. And it's a practice. Sometimes I'm still nervous about speaking up or creating boundaries. But when you develop a sense of, I need to be in integrity with myself, I need to really embody courage. By the way, if you didn't know the word courage, it comes from Latin, which comes from the heart. So courage is really operating from the heart. When you do that, one, you feel amazing, because every time you do something courageous, it feels empowering. But two, you're going to see how you're going to be creating deeper, more meaningful, healthier, and better relationships. I hope this podcast episode was super impactful for you. If you found it helpful, empowering, please share it with your friends and family, and let's start this self-mastery revolution of really creating change from the inside out. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope to connect with you next week again. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening at With Clarity and Purpose. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Sharing is caring. Please share with your friends and family so we can continue building an empowered community together. I'll see you next week.